Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. On Saturday, July 24th at 7 p.m., cellist, arranger, and producer Maya Beiser will be joined with a group of all-star cellists to perform Maya Beiser x Philip Glass at Hudson Hall in Hudson, New York. Drawn from her latest album, which was recorded at Hudson Hall in the winter of this year, the immersive performance brings together an astounding group of avant-garde cellists to create a multi-layered sound sculpture, exploring and unveiling new dimensions in some of Philip Glass's most powerful and achingly beautiful works. Maya's solo album, Maya Beiser x Philip Glass, comes out on her Islandia Music record label today. Maya Beiser joins us now. Maya, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you, Sarah. Happy to be here.
Before we discuss the music of Philip Glass, how did you connect with Hudson Hall to record the album there?
I have had several years relationship with Hudson Hall. A few years ago, I did a workshop on one of my projects not far from Hudson, and I got to meet the wonderful people in Hudson Hall and fell in love with that space. So I actually, this is my second album that I recorded there. And during COVID, you know, things were pretty dire, and I got in touch with them, and we thought that we could record there, given that it's a large space and my sound engineer could sort of socially distance from me. So we did that. It was in January of 2021, which seems like ages ago, even though it was really not long ago. And it was a wonderful experience recording there.
Before recording in January, how long had you been working on these compositions, on these arrangements, and what inspired you to explore the music of Philip Glass in this way?
So, you know, I have a long relationship with Philip Glass. In 2005, he invited me to play the solo cello part for his Nakoikatsi score, which is part of his fabulous Katsi trilogy. And we went on a worldwide tour together. I was playing solo with him, actually performing with the Philip Glass Ensemble. We started at, our first concert was at the Sydney Opera House. And from there we went to Europe, to some amazing places in Europe and Asia and in the US as well. So during that time, actually, I already started to think that it's one day I want to record Philip's music, but I didn't quite know yet how and what I would do. And, you know, my kind of artistic process is usually very organic. I respond to something. Usually it's a visual, and that kind of leads me in a sort of journey that then ends up in either a performance project or a recording. And in this album's case, I was home during COVID, as we all were.
Right.
My studio. And I was doing this kind of deep meditation, listening to Philip Glass perform his piano etudes. On sort of like repeat play day after day. And what I kept seeing was stratum, which I don't know if you or your listeners know, but stratum is the word for the layering that occurs in the most sedimentary rocks that are formed on, you know, at the Earth's surface. And I kept seeing this image of the layers of my cello becoming porous, and Glass's music sort of flows through each layer like lava and creating all these new patterns and expanding. So I really had this very strong sensation that I needed to do something with that. So I have this looper. And I got out the looper out of the, you know, the closet in my studio, and just started to experiment with looping some of Philip Glass's piano etudes, and I just kind of was stunned that it worked so well, because, you know, the pieces were not written as loop pieces; they were written as a just kind of straightforward piano pieces, but there are all these patterns that happens in Glass's music that it just lends itself to that. So that was how things began, and sort of took off from there to create this whole album as sort of a sound sculpture, if you will. You know, like a cello sound sculpture is sort of how I'd like to think about it. Quite ambient-y, and it kind of takes you on this journey.
How long has looping been a part of your practice?
Quite a long time. Actually, in early 2000s, I really started more with doing overdubbing. In the early 2000s, I was commissioned to do a full evening for Carnegie Hall, and I commissioned Steve Reich, who is another, you know, great composer and mentor of mine and collaborator. I commissioned him to write a solo cello piece, and he wrote a piece that had seven different overdub pre-recorded tracks. And I really, ever since then, started to work a lot with layering. The professional jargon, it's overdubbing, multi-tracking. I always like to think about it as sort of layering and just so creating those kind of, I like to call it sound sculptures. But so I've been doing that, and then performing with multi-tracks, recording of myself live. I've done that for a very long time. And then out of that, sort of naturally, I started to also experiment with looping, with live looping, and creating things that are just more malleable. Yeah, so it's been a while, 20 years, I'd say.
After you explored the etudes, how did you choose what other pieces you would include in this work?
Yeah, so I did the two etudes. I chose etude number 5 and etude number 2, which I would think most people who are familiar with Philip music would know those pieces. They're really sort of iconic pieces, just achingly beautiful in my mind. And I really wanted to make them come alive on the cello. And then from there, I decided to take on Mad Rush, which is, it's a monumental tour de force piano, kind of crazy piano piece. And I had no idea how it was going to work out, but that's always fun. And so, I worked together with this wonderful sound engineer who's actually also a New York, upstate New Yorker, Dave Cook. So we together sort of, construct a scheme for each piece and kind of figure out how to make it work. And I write the arrangements, but then a lot of things just sort of happen organically during the recording process. I play everything, all the parts myself, but it ends up sounding pretty gigantic. And it's always a very delicate balance about creating, creating the sound, still keeping a sense of intimacy. But Mad Rush was a lot of fun to record. And then I always wanted to do Music in Similar Motion, which is one of Philip Glass's classic early minimalist pieces. It was written in 1969, and it's just, it's great. And it's an open score. He wrote it as an open score, and the drama sort of unfolds very, very slowly. It could be played by any instrument and kind of however one chooses, as long as you, play the patterns that he specifies. And then you can choose how many repeats you want to do on each pattern. So we created that, and that was a lot of fun. I also added some percussion, sounds off my cello, just kind of like playing around with that. So that's, in some ways, I guess, is the most upbeat piece of the album. Everything else is pretty mellow. I did want to kind of create my own take on some of those Nakoi Katsi pieces that I performed with Philip. But in this case, I played all the orchestra part as well. So, it's really, in essence, this piece is like a cello concerto. So I just, played the solo part, but also all the accompanying parts myself. So that was fun.
It sounds like it would be fun, and like it's quite a bit of work, though, actually, too, of course.
Yeah, but it was fun work. It was
good. The album is My Advisor, ex Philip Glass, and the concert is entitled the same, but you will be joined by a number of other cellists. Tell us about the concert you have scheduled.
Yeah, so, you know, the album, of course, is all solo. And for me, you know, recording a solo album is kind of an introverted process. You know, I go inward and I kind of build the sound from the layers of my cello one at a time. But for the live performance, I wanted to create a shared communal experience. You know, it's especially now, right? I mean, it's so important. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. I think now more than ever, given what we went through in the past year and a half. So I wanted to sort of expand the powerful communion that unfolds, you know, in a performance, usually between myself and the audience, but I wanted more people. So I wanted other cellists, and I reached out to some of the greatest cellists, artists, composers. I mean, they're all cellists who also create their own material, and they're just really fantastic people. Clarice Jemison, Jeffrey Ziegler, Andrew Yee, and Paul Bianco. They are just really kind of powerful artists, you know, in their own right. And they all agreed to join me in this one-time event. So it's kind of fun. We decided to go back to Hudson Hall, since that's where I recorded the album. And I've actually never performed there live, but I thought it would be good. It would be nice to support them, and it would be kind of fun to do that. So that's what we're doing this Saturday night.
The concert takes place Saturday, July 24th at 7 p.m. at Hudson Hall in Hudson, New York. For ticket information, visit hudsonhall.org. My Advisor, congratulations, and thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Really happy to talk to you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.